Welcome to room 4216. We ran into a minor problem, but we think we have a way to resolve it.
Just a minor problem, not a big problem.
We're going to develop two versions of room 4216. One will be just titled the number and MS.
Main stuff, main story, main study, main stuff, main stuff.
That's what the MS stands for. And the other version will be the number of the lesson and DG.
Details. I love details. Details galore.
So if you have the time, listen to Details Galore, as it will have many more things added to it.
Lots of things.
To keep our program under 25 minutes, we have developed the MS version keep within a proper time.
I love main stuff.
So listen and let us know what you think.
Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
This lesson is MS, the main stuff. You know, Cecilia, with the last lesson, you were excited in looking at things in the Book of Numbers. And
I've
never been excited about the Book of Numbers. But as we're getting into it, this is pretty good stuff.
Sure it is.
I think we're going to find some cool stuff as we look in chapters 6, 7, 8, and 9 today, too. My gosh, there's more than I expected. Shall we go in and take a look?
Let's do it.
All right. Cecilia, could you start by reading the Aaronic blessing in Numbers chapter 6? What does that start at? Verse 22?
Verse 22. Okay. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace."
We ended last episode with this. It was a wonderful way to end, but now I'd like to unpack some of this. We read several things about it. And it's almost like there's two sides here. One is God is fixing to, and then it's the actions of God. So God is fixing to, the first thing is?
Bless.
And then the action, once he's fixing to bless you, is?
Keep.
So then he's fixing to?
Make his face shine.
And then the action is?
Be gracious.
And then he's fixing to the third one.
Turn his face toward you.
Yeah, which is almost the same as that second one, but not quite. And then the action is?
Give you peace.
I think the Israelites really embraced, and we probably should too, the actions this blessing God is going to do. And what were the three actions?
Keep, be gracious, give peace.
Wow. God will keep us. And notice it didn't say from this, from that. It just means keep us, hold us, embrace us, so that no matter what, we're safe both physically and spiritually. Then number two, gracious. Well, that means giving us stuff we don't deserve. Wow.
Yes, it does.
And the third one?
Give peace.
Peace. And this is more than the lack of hostility or inaction of people's aggressions. This means that deep connection between us and God that goes way deeper than the externals. Wow. That's what God is saying he wants Aaron to do for the people. And that includes you and me. Now we look at the first part of that. The God is fixing to bless, make his face shine, make his face, and then turn his
face toward.
My wife loves to tell the story. When Tori was little, 1 year old, she kept on biting Deb, either in the hand or the wrist.
Oh. And
Yeah, well, one-year-olds, they learn their mouth and taste, and everything has to go in their mouth. And some kids, and that's why you get even the older kids, I don't know anyone who's done this, but stick their tongue on the frozen bar to see what will
Oh,
happen
yes.
in the winter.
Yes.
And it sticks there, and you go,
I saw a TV
ah!
show once where they had to get the police or the ambulance out to fix that.
By the way, if you just don't do anything and wait long enough, your blood will warm that bar. You got to wait about a minute and it'll finally come off. But if you just rip it off, you're going to rip off a bunch
Oh,
of skin.
yes.
Well, Tori kept biting Deb because she was in that stage of a one-year-old of everything has to be in the mouth. And finally, Deb said, "I don't like little girls who bite." And she said, "And I won't look at you." And she turned and looked
Oh.
away. That drove Tori crazy that she couldn't see mommy's face.
Oh.
Because mommy's face had the smile and the eyes would talk with her. If you look away, now think about that as God. You guys bit me. I'm going to look away. It's like, I'll go to a different universe. I'll leave you guys alone.
I don't
Isn't it
like that
amazing?
picture.
Yeah. You know, God could have done that when we all sinned.
Yes, he could have.
But he chose something different.
Chose to turn away from his own son instead of from
Yeah.
us.
Turned his face away from his own son. He sent his son into the world so we could see God's face. And Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's John 14. And then the Father turned his face away from his son so that God the Father might turn his face towards you and me, so he might keep you and me, be gracious to you and me, and give us peace.
So I don't understand. What is the difference between the Lord make his face shine upon you and the Lord turn his face toward you?
Okay.
Some translations say the Lord lift up his countenance upon you.
Yeah, good question, Cecilia. I alluded already with the story of Tori, mom turned her face away. But there's once in a while when Tori would do something and mom would look at her and just glower and with a angry face, and Tori would know it. Oops, I'm in trouble. And isn't that how the Father looked at Jesus on the cross? I don't like you. You are a sinner and I will destroy you. That's the angry face. So there's the combination of not looking, face not turning, or the face having a smile or anger. I think that's what's meant between the two.
Now I'm confused. The word bless,
Okay.
it seems to me there's almost two different definitions, but I'm not sure. First, we say we bless God, but then God blesses us.
Yeah, I hear it saying, God bless you. Yeah, it really is. It can be either way. It's from the lesser to the greater, or from the greater to the lesser person. And so it really comes from that language of kings and servants. And so if the king blesses someone, it's from the greater to the less, bestowing benefits. And if we bless the king, that means you are great in order to give things. And so it can be either direction. It's one of those weird words that can flow either way. So it's it comes from the Hebrew word, and it's one of those weird things where it can go either way.
So let me see if I understand.
Okay.
The when we say the Lord bless us and keep us, that is what we talked about earlier. The Lord sending his spiritual
Yeah,
blessings and
God
taking
is
care
doing
of
it to
us.
us. He's the
Yes.
greater giving to us.
But when we say something like, blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, etc., then we're saying, Lord, look at the amazing, wonderful things you've done. You are so worthy to
Right.
be praised. Is that the difference?
And we're acknowledging he is the one who gives the great gifts. Yes, that's the difference.
Ah, thank you.
Well, as we move on to Numbers chapter 7, we find that God asks that the tabernacle be dedicated to the Lord.
And all the things be dedicated to the Lord.
And then it lists the things that the people gave for the use in the tabernacle or formed into the tabernacle.
The bulls, the utensils, the gold for the lampstands, and the linens and all that kind of thing.
And so if you want to know more about the tabernacle and its items, that you certainly could. We're not going to go into detail now, but you could listen to a lesson.
You can go back to lesson 176 on the not-alone.net website.
Well, as we move on in Numbers chapter 8, we find a kind of a recurring thing in Numbers. God notes that the Levites should be set aside for his work in the tabernacle and his service, and then how they're to be cleansed. But there's an interesting twist to this all. If you could read, Cecilia, verses 16 through 18.
They are the Israelites who are to be given wholly to me. I have taken them as my own in place of the firstborn, the first male offspring from every Israelite woman. Every firstborn male in Israel, whether man or animal, is mine. When I struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, I set them apart for myself. And I have taken the Levites in place of all the firstborn sons in Israel.
So this goes back to what happened in Egypt. God and the 10th plague said, I'm going to strike down the firstborn of every male unless you trust and believe that I can save you. And that's by killing a lamb and placing the blood on the doorpost and lintel. That's the Passover.
Yes, it is.
Every Israelite that had blood on the door, then that firstborn wasn't killed. By the way, if there were any Egyptians who believed in God and did this, they'd be saved too. Or vice versa, if an Israelite said, this is a bunch of, I'll keep hawking, I'm not going to do that, then their firstborn. So God demonstrated the firstborn would be his. And when he saw the firstborn of the Egyptians who didn't believe, they were killed. But those firstborn of those who believed were saved. Well, what he's doing here now in Numbers 8 is saying, okay, I realize you need the firstborn to keep promulgating and doing farm work and everything. So I'll just switch and take I'll take all the Levites to be mine and be the first. But this hearkens to something else with first, and it jumps all the way to, Paul says it very well in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. You see, Jesus was the first also, the first Son of God, the only Son of God, but the Son of God. And he died for us. But that means if we believe and trust in him, just like the Passover, those who were covered with the blood on the door, they would be saved. Those who believe in Jesus will be saved and will be raised because Jesus was raised. He's the first of all. And so this here in Numbers is really demonstrating that of faith and trusting God and what he would do with the first, looking to the Messiah, who would be the first to rise from the dead. So, Cecilia, we are in chapter 9. The first 14 verses talked about celebrating the Passover. Mm-hmm. And remember, again, the people, all they knew was all the festivals and holidays of the Egyptians. And so God was helping them to understand new celebrations. Mm-hmm. And now it's an interesting section. I think it's verses 15 through 23. I'd like you to read it. And listeners, please understand, there might be a little bit of redundancy here, but it's for a purpose. And the focus is on the cloud, on the cloud, on the cloud.
On the day the tabernacle the tent of the testimony was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night, it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites would set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out. And at his command, they would encamp. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days, and at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening until morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they would set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days, or a month, or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. So they had a visible sign that showed them where to go. Wow. You know, it makes me think, Pastor Dave, of a banner. We all love a good parade and we see banners flying. But more important than that, banners or standards, as they are called, led armies.
Oh, sure, an army. Because back then, they didn't have GPS or phones or anything.
No.
And they needed to go which direction. You know, it reminds me of the time, because as we're recording this, it's winter, and, and it reminded me, because we had some snow last night, of a several times that the snow's been real bad, and Deb was driving in the snow, and she said she couldn't see anything. It was almost a whiteout, but she could see the taillights of the car in front of her, and she would follow the taillights. When it would turn, it would turn, and it got her to the destination safely.
And I'll bet she was so thankful to God for those taillights.
Absolutely.
And I'm a great fan of the history of the West. When the wagon trains would travel, they would use things to help them know where to go. They would use the sun, which, of course, rose in the east, set in the west.
Set in the west.
They would follow rivers. And then they would look off into the distance, and they would see, at first far away, these mountains. And they knew if they aimed toward the mountains.
And with the scouts' help, they'd know which one of the mountains to go towards.
Yes.
And it makes sense, too, because the rivers would come from the mountains, so it would guide them.
Ah, yes.
You know, all those are more current examples for us to what God was doing for the Israelites in the desert. He was leading them. And he did it not just in the desert. You had done a little research on this, didn't you, in the Old Testament, and finding the cloud and how God's presence would be with his people.
I did. And it says in 1 Kings 8 that Solomon was building the temple. Now, we had the tabernacle before, which was a tent. But this is the actual stone building.
That David wanted to, but Solomon did, his son.
And so they brought the Ark of the Covenant, and they brought that to Jerusalem, and they put it in the actual temple. And the cloud, the same one that guided the Israelites, came and stood over the temple.
I have it here. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 12. Then Solomon said, "The Lord said he would dwell in the cloud. And I have indeed built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to dwell forever." And that cloud settled in there to show the people God was present. we look at other spots in the Bible, in the Old Testament too, we can see about God's presence being related to the cloud. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 97:1, the Lord reigns, let the earth be glad, let the distant shores rejoice. Verse 2, clouds and thick darkness surround him, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Verse 3, fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world sees and tremble. Yeah, the Old Testament speaks a lot about the cloud related to God's power. Well, and what do you think of when you see a dark, dark cloud? I know many of you haven't seen, but you've heard people say when you see a dark cloud, it means
storm.
Yeah, power and storms. How about in the New Testament? Does clouds show up in the New Testament?
On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was talking with Moses and Elijah, and then Peter said, yeah. Oh, Lord, it's great for us to be here. And then Moses and Elijah vanished. And out of a cloud came a voice that said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. That was power. That was
and
God
I really
speaking.
Think that related and resonated with those three disciples very well, because they heard about the cloud leading the people, being over the tabernacle, being in the temple. That's God's presence. That's God's power. And here it is on Jesus. On Jesus. Now, you said something interesting to me in passing, Cecilia. You didn't like the transfiguration as
no.
a kid. Because?
No. Well, because I felt like Peter was being punished for saying, Lord, it's great for us to be here. Yeah, I know. Let's build three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And I wondered if he wasn't hoping to talk with Moses and Elijah himself.
Right.
And all of a sudden they
vanish.
That's
the point of the transfiguration and the voice and the cloud was to say, this Jesus, this is God. He's with you. And then Jesus didn't stand on that mountaintop and people have to come up to see him. He went down to the valleys to be with them and all their pain and sorrow and to deal with their difficulties, especially that of sin, to forgive you and me. God with us. And that's Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, the very name that the angel said, about Jesus. You'll call him Jesus, for he will be Emmanuel. God's with us.
Pastor Dave, I really wish God would lead me with a cloud, like he did the Israelites.
Well, you know, actually, he does and he doesn't.
Typical you to say one thing and then say the opposite.
Right, but we don't have enough time in this episode today, so we're going to have to leave that for next episode at the next lesson.
You can also email us info.
INFO.
At not-alone.
NOT-ALONE.
.net.
And remember,
we are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Our sincere thanks go to Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn for their interlude music.